Last week we spent some time talking about Joseph in the Old Testament and some of the things that he did with respect to his attitude and the way that he looked at his circumstances in not allowing those circumstances to defeat him, to deflate him, or to cause him to give up. And in the face of that, God was able to use him and raise him up and give him favor with those who he was in captivity to the point where he became second in command of the whole nation of Egypt. So maybe a little cliche this week. I knew I wanted to do a message that touched on thankfulness. And we're going to get back and talk a little more about Joseph. But as I was preparing the framework of this message, Laura reminded me of a particular account in Scripture that tied in very well with where I wanted to go this morning. Let me start by saying this much. It's very clear to me that Joseph, who we talked about last week, must have understood the concept of thankfulness. He must have. He chose to be thankful for what God had done and what God was in the process of doing during times when it may have seemed to Joseph, and you know, ask yourself if maybe you're in a similar situation, it may have seemed to Joseph that God was doing nothing at all. And while we often struggle with being thankful during those trying or lean times in life, right? How often do we fail to give thanks for what is simply obvious and right in front of our faces? It's kind of why I felt like I needed to spend some time thanking God and affirming those that God has raised up in leadership in our midst. Because it's very easy for us to focus on the negative, right? Very easy. And sometimes we just forget to be thankful for what, it's kind of like a no-brainer, you know, have one of those duh moments. Ugh, why didn't I thank them for that? Why wasn't I thankful for that? Luke 17. Where are the other nine? Well, that's the question. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, just one, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" I think Jesus said that a little tongue-in-cheek. I'll tell you why in a minute. Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The irony of this story was not lost. The irony of this event must not have been lost on Jesus, particularly when you think of Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, I don't know if you remember about the Samaritans or not, but you know, in Old Testament history, when the nation of Israel was split in two, and the northern kingdom, you know, continued to call itself Israel, and the southern kingdom became Judea. Well, what happened in the northern kingdom, because they had been taken over by so many different nations, there'd been a lot of intermarrying and a lot of, you know, so much for the whole purity of the Jewish bloodline. And that was a big deal to a lot of the Jews who were big on the whole purity of the Jewish bloodline thing. And so the Samaritans were viewed by many Jews as idolatrous half-breeds. Yay. Those idol-worshipping, impure, icky. You talk about racism? You know, so for Jesus to say, you know, here's these 10 lepers. Apparently the other 9 were Jewish. One of them was Samaritan. So he would have claimed Jew, you know, being a Jew as a heritage, but there would have been maybe some Babylonian, some Persian, you know, a lot of different taints to the bloodline, just like, you know, Jesus had. Anyway, he comes back in thankfulness to God. And Jesus said, what about the other 9? The only one that could bother to be come back is the foreigner, the idolatrous half-breed. Interesting. He was thankful, and rightfully so, When you have a skin condition, a disease that causes you to have to separate yourself from people, like literally, could you imagine being stricken with a disease in which you it would be illegal for you to touch people, and you would have to go to the other side of the street and yell, unclean, unclean. I mean, what if you had to, you know, identify yourself that way? Don't come near me, I'm ugly. Please stay away, I'm fat. You know, I mean, it would be, I mean, from a cultural perspective, you know, for a lot of people, you know, I don't think we understand. We read these stories and we think, oh, leprosy, oh, they had some little, you know, flaky skin and whatever. You know, look, they weren't allowed to have contact with people. They had to separate themselves from their families. And notice, when they approached Jesus, they stood a way off. And they literally are yelling at Jesus, you know, can we have some help over here? And Jesus, and I guess, you know, sometimes you're so excited about something, you know, things slip your mind, you know. And we can always go back and thank people later. But just the one came back. A good reminder to us to be thankful for what we should be thankful for. Our problem is probably this. I put this quote in the bulletin. It's literally true. This is a quote by W.J. Cameron. Now, catch this. It's literally true, as the thankless say, that they have nothing to be thankful for. It's true. If you're thankless, you don't have anything to be thankful for. Why? He who sits by the fire, thankless for the fire, is just as if he had no fire. Nothing is possessed save an appreciation, of which thankfulness is the indispensable ingredient. But a thankful heart hath a continual feast. A heart without thankfulness is like chocolate chip cookies with no chocolate. Maybe it's even worse than that. So why is thankfulness then an absolutely vital discipline in the life of every Christian? I will tell you why right now. Got your pens? Here we go. The first reason is this. If you're a thankless person, an unthankful person, I guarantee you that people are not going to be drawn to Christ by the life and example of an ungrateful, griping Christian. And of course, I put the word Christian in quotes because if your tendency is to be unthankful and griping, that display of your true heart and attitude calls into question the reality of your relationship with Christ. And that's a soul check. That's just a real soul check. You know, I'm not saying you're not going to go to heaven, but understand, if we're to reflect the character of Christ, unthankfulness, gripiness, you know, short of those weak moments in our life, just doesn't belong. Ungrateful, griping Christians don't draw people to Christ. Just don't. In John 3, Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And we're kind of looking at this, you know, this is a very literal image. Just like Moses, when he fashioned that bronze snake, and the people were able to look at it and they were healed of the snake bites and the this plague of snakes that came into the camp. Jesus equates himself to being held up literally on a pole, on a cross, so that when he is lifted up, people will be drawn to him. But I want to suggest to you that there's a deeper level. When we lift up Christ in our life, literally lift him up, exalt him in what we do, glorify him in what we do, the unthankful, griping heart does not do that. And so Christ is not lifted up when we have attitudes that don't exude Christ-likeness. And so when he is not lifted up, people are not drawn to him. But when they look at our lives and they see thankfulness and they see, you know, the kind of attitude, again, going back to Joseph, the kind of attitude that Joseph must have had in the midst of all of the trials and the tribulations that he went through in slavery, something about his attitude caused him to have favor with people. They put him in charge of stuff because they knew they could trust him. That should be us. Christ should be lifted up in our life and in our example so that people will be drawn to him. John 12:32, again, he says, but I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. So again, there's that physical image of him being lifted up on the cross, but again, I want to suggest to you that there's a sense that in our lives, we have to lift him up every day. so that they see him and not us. They see him in us and not just, you know, us just going around life doing the thing that we do and whatever and blah, 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 blah. All right. The second thing about thankfulness, why thankfulness is an absolutely vital discipline in the life of every single Christian, without exception, that includes you. Thankfulness is a choice, and it's an action. It's not a feeling. I mean, yeah, you can feel thankful. There are things that make me feel thankful. But there are times where the thankfulness is still deserved, even if I don't feel like being thankful. And I choose to be thankful. Things that happen in our lives can be tough. And I know some of you are here today and you're going through some hard things. I know you're going through some hard stuff. And I know some of you know that some of you in this room are going through some hard stuff. And I pray that, you know, again, we as a church family can pull together and support one another, you know, especially during the times when Thanksgiving and Christmas roll around, you know, and people really start, you know, to struggle with the ramifications of stuff that's happening in their life, you know, and I know depression can set in and discouragement can set in. You know, we got to pull together. We got to pull together and support one another in these times when it's easy to look at what's wrong and forget what's right. Not to negate what's wrong, but to realize that in spite of the things that are going on around us that we're struggling with, that we're having a tough time with, that there's still so many things that we can be thankful for. Hebrews 13, 15 to 16 says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise." Because sometimes it can feel a bit like a sacrifice, right? Shouldn't, but you know, it can feel that way. And so in a way, it's a sacrifice that is acceptable to God when we choose to offer praise and maybe we're not feeling like it. "The fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." You know, there's a passage in the Old Testament where God is literally annoyed at some of the Israelite people because, you know, they're doing all the right stuff. I mean, they're doing the feasts and they're doing the religious rituals and they're offering the sacrifices. And he looks down at them and he says, "You know what? That sacrifice you just offered, it stinks in my nostrils because your heart is far from me." Ouch. You know, that's a little bit like we're worshiping, but we're not really worshiping. There's a great video floating around YouTube right now about the wrong kind of worship, you know, and so the worship team is up there and they're singing songs perhaps in the way that we're thinking in our mind. I surrender some, you know, I stand amazed at my hairdo. You know, I mean, we just, yeah. The truth is, you know, you go to church, you're looking around, my hair looks pretty good. Oh, what did he spill on his jacket? You know, I exalt me. You know, I mean, look, we wouldn't sing this stuff, but there are times our heart is not in line with what our lips are saying when we're singing. I will sing of your love on Sunday. And then it'll be gone by Monday. I mean, the reality is, you know, we're not focusing on the Lord in that right mindset. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances." You don't have to give thanks for all circumstances. I mean, there are some circumstances that they just kind of stink. You know, it kind of bites. But we can give thanks in the middle of those because in spite of the fact that maybe the enemy is trying to take us down, that God has overcome the world. "For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And again, going back to Joseph, thankfulness should not be based on your present circumstances. I mean, I can be thankful for present circumstances, but again, sometimes my present circumstances just aren't very fun. But there are a lot of great things God has done. There's a lot of great things God is in the process of doing, and there's a lot of great things that God is going to do when I get past this. because this too shall pass. That I could even be thankful for that. I was used to do that. I'd have something I was dreading. You know, like I, one big thing growing up were these piano exams. I was going through the Royal Conservatory program as I grew up. And so, you know, end of the year, they'd bring in an adjudicator from the Royal Conservatory in Toronto, and they'd set up different locations where you would go, and you'd have to play, you know, any number of songs from various classical eras, and you'd have to do your scales and your arpeggios and your sight reading and your theory. It was crazy. I'm thinking to myself, is Canadians, are they nuts? Anyway, so I would go do that, and you'd sit in a room, and you're playing the piano, and the guy's over in the corner going shh, with the pencil the whole time, and shh, you know, and you're playing through, and then he'll interrupt you. Okay, that's good enough. I'm like, but I didn't finish the song. No, I got what I need. Is that good or is that bad? Anyway, I would always be thankful ahead of time for when that was going to be over. You know, I'm thinking, okay, by this time, in 3 days, I'll be done the exam. Yay! You know, anyway, maybe that's a little silly. But here's David echoing his heart to the Lord, reminding himself of those times that he needs to bless God and be thankful, maybe when he doesn't feel like it. And he commands himself, his soul. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now I'm going to remind myself why I can bless the Lord, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I think I'm reading a different translation than was on the wall there. Sorry. I got the New King James here. I think I got the NIV up on the wall. Okay, you get the point, though. Or this one, Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Understand, this was a song written, you know, by David. It was in Hebrew, and there was this repeating refrain, you know. Sometimes we're like, why do we sing the same stuff over and over again? Because we're stupid and we don't get it. Sometimes memory helps us, you know. I need to say that over and over again so that I understand the truth of it. His love endures forever. Number four, according to Scripture, thankfulness is not optional. Sorry. I apologize for that. Oh, you can be thankful if you feel like it. If that happened, the enemy would make sure we never... Well, he does anyway. That's what he focuses on, because we're focused on feelings. Paul says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice the place that thankfulness and thanksgiving play in that when you pray. It's like, you know, you pray God and you're thanking him for what he's going to do because he wants to do it. And again, going back to 1 Thessalonians 5, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God's will for you is for you to be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. That's his will for you. Now, we could, you know, get into that whole debate of, well, does God's will just happen? Obviously not, because if that's God's will for my life, I'm falling short a lot. Now, going back to how Joseph's attitude affect his circumstances last week, last point, go to the next slide. Thankfulness, then, is an important attitude that can actually affect and change things in the spiritual realm. Your attitude can affect and change things in that realm that you don't see, which in turn then has a profound effect on our outcome. You see, our tendency is to have our thankfulness be based on how we feel or based on what's going on around us. And God says, no, you don't understand. When you choose your attitude, When you choose to have the right kind of attitude, it will affect and change what's going on around you. It will affect the kingdom of darkness, and it will give God power in your life to move, and the outcome will be affected because of your attitude. Try it. This is what we observed so clearly last week in the life of Joseph. Pure and simple. Let me go back to Philippians 4 again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Then this, I didn't read this verse just a minute ago. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You can choose to think on things that will build you up, encourage you, lift you up, and challenge you to stay in that place with the Lord. Luke 11 talks about our focus. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. I mean, they talk about the eyes being the windows to the soul. You know, I mean, in a way, you get that image of almost like eyes, and what you look at is what you get filled with. And so if you look at things that are light, you're filled with light. If you look at things that are dark, you're filled with darkness. I think the poet also wrote that the ears are the ventilator shaft to the liver. And no, he didn't say that. That's not true. Okay, so the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. What you see is what you're full of. What you look at is you know, it's garbage in, garbage out. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light. And when the bright shining of a, as when, sorry, the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. When you look at the lepers and the fact that only one of them came back to thank Jesus, he came back to thank God for something that is a no-brainer. And the other nine dropped the ball. But I want to challenge you even farther than that. Number one, yeah, remember to thank people for the things that are obvious. Remember to thank God for the things that are obvious. But remember to thank God for the things that aren't so obvious. And to stop taking those things for granted that still deserve to be brought into an attitude of thankfulness. Two closing thoughts. We'll wrap it up. Number one, and you can write this on the back. I kind of ran out of space. God really can't work effectively with an unthankful heart. Look, if you have an unthankful heart, change it. Because you're opening the door. You might as well paint a big sign on your head that says, Satan, come have me for lunch. You know, big bullseye on your back. You know, you're toast out there. Satan can work really effectively with an unthankful heart. Number two, there's not a whole lot God's going to be able to do in your life or through your life if you choose an unthankful, ungrateful path. Pure and simple. So again, if you want your life to resemble more closely the life of Joseph, who we talked about last week, and how God was able to exalt him and raise him up out of very negative circumstances that the enemy meant for evil, but he was able to take and turn into good. Whatever circumstance that you are struggling in right now, I know that your attitude will have a profound effect on how that's going to turn out. Don't forget that this week, especially as we move into the Thanksgiving season. Let's stand together and pray, and we'll let you go. Father, we thank you. And we say the words, thank you, God. And sometimes we don't mean them, or we don't even understand the ramifications of what it means to come to you and to thank you. Because we could begin to list little things that we're thankful for, and large things that we should be thankful for, and small things, and spiritual things, and physical things, and emotional things. And I pray, God, that you would not let us fall into the trap of just letting negativity rule our demeanor. Don't let negativity rule our hearts, God. Help us to fight that and resist that with everything in our being, because if the enemy wins that battle in our mind, we are truly lost. God, help us to be like David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, because I know he has forgiven my sin. He has healed my diseases. He has taken me out of the pit, and he has crowned my life with loving kindness. God help us every day to go through the exercise of just finding things to be thankful for. Because in the middle of some of the junk that we go through in our life, and we know some of it is junk, and some of it isn't stuff that we warranted. It's just, you know, we go, people make decisions and we find ourselves in places where it's like, how did I get here? And maybe it was partially our fault. Maybe it was somebody else. Maybe we just were here. And for whatever reason, there it is. God, I pray that you would help us not to get so bound up in our present circumstances that we would forget to open up the door to the blessing that comes from expressing our heart in a way that lifts you up in our lives so that people are drawn to you by the attitude of Christ in our hearts and in our minds. We thank you, God. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, look at the person next to you and say, turn that frown upside down. No, don't do that. No. God bless. Have a great week.